Beseder, let's begin. Today we learn Taftet Zayin, and we begin from the next Mishnah. So the Mishnah begins. Turn the light here. Good. The two people going into the public domain. Yafeh. One is running and one is walking. Or Shoshneim Ratzim. Well, they're both running. So this is where they both did a Shinoi. Then Vesikuzetze, and they both damage one other, then the Shneim Patur, and they're both Patur. That's strange because we just saw before if you do a Shinoi Yechayev. We talked about the both Mishani Yechayev Chetzi. That's what we saw last time. So therefore, it makes more sense when you continue the Gemara. And it says as follows: Shneim Rosham Mahalkim Yossi Abavli Omer. Yossi Abavli said, Haya Ratz. Let's say one's running Rosh Hashanah Vizik and it causes damage. He's Chayev because Shishinami Aminah, because he went against the normal practice of transit in Rosh Hashanah. What are you doing? You're like driving crazy, if you like. Haya Erev Shabbos. If however was Erev Shabbos Ben Hashmashot, then Patur. If it's getting close to Shabbos. Then it was understood that people ran in Rosh Hashanah, and that was considered the normal way. So in that situation, if he causes damage as he runs, and that's what we're saying in the case, or well, that's why the Bavli list explains our Mishnah, that's what we're saying when it's Patur. Yafeh. The Gemara says, Amri, they said, who Yossi Bavli? That's Yossi ben Yehuda. That's Yossi ben Yehuda, who Yossi Kotonta. Now, why is this called Yossi Kotonta? And we referred to him back in Masechta Sota. Lami Kotonta, Shu Katana Chasidim. If you remember, in the end of Masechta Sota talked about basically Yudata Dorot, how at certain periods, certain individuals who were the last of a particular era of either Tzaddikim, whatever it was. Here, he was the last of the Chasidim. So it's Katana Chasidim. He ended off it was the last of the Chasidim. That's referred to as Yossi Kotonta. Okay, let's now learn Mishnah Chet. Mission begins. Let's say someone's cutting wood in Rosh Hashanah and it causes damage in the public domain. Rosh Hashanah in the public domain and damage in the public domain. Sorry, in the private domain. Or he's chopping in Rosh Hashanah and it causes damage in another Rosh Hashanah. In all the situations, you're chayev. The Bnei Moshe says this is considered lo zu av zu, meaning the last one is the biggest chiddush. Because the last one, you've got what's called tarte lamal yuta. You've got two things in his benefit. One is he's doing work in his own field. The makom shizik in the place where it flew out and caused damage, lo shiach rabim. There were not many people are there. Dene you could say someone to say that you should have looked. I feel hachi, nonetheless, chayiv adam. Chayiv da adam or the olam, someone is chayiv for all the damage he does directly, as he said, even in the case of honest, and that's why it's a lo zu af zu ktani. Fine, that's a Mishnah. However, we have a question as follows. Let's say someone's chopping wood in his own chatzir. The nitnas poel and his worker comes in to claim his fee, his wages. The nitza habika, and the wood sort of chops, flies off, he still can causes damage. He's chayev. Importantly, chayev means in the elements of compensation. If you remember, when it comes to a human causing damage to another human being, there are five elements of compensation. Nezek, Tsar, Ripu, Shevet, and Boshet. However, in this situation, the Maror Fulda says, for Boshet, you need intent. So therefore, I mean, intent, and therefore, it's be chayev for the shame cause. So in this situation, you're not chayev at all. Okay, there was no intent to shame the person. So in other words, we're talking about the four elements of compensation. However, if the person dies as a result, then it says, Einu Gola. Now, Einu Gola, according to the Bnei Moshe, if you remember, when does someone go to Galut? That's when they killed someone, Beshogeg. Now, there's two ways to always understand Einu Gola. Einu Gola could mean that it's considered out of his control, it's completely honest, but that wouldn't make sense because he's chayev in terms of to pay damage. So it must be Einu Gola, must mean that it's the Shogar Kovla Meiz. It's considered like on a gross negligence, if I think that's the right term to use. And therefore, the Gola is Galut isn't enough to achieve a Kepara. Okay. However, that's been Rabbi Yossi ben Chanina. In other words, he's chopping wood in his house, a worker comes to get money, and he causes damage, he injures his worker, he's chayiv. However, Tani Reb Chiya says, patur mashmech, even from any elements of compensation. So the question is, what is the positions of Rabbi Yossi ben Chanina and Reb Chiya? Is it a machloket or not? The Gemara says, lo pligi, it's not a machloket. Mad Amar Rabbi Yossi ben Chanina, when Reb Chiya says, b'shira'ahu, that's when he sees him walk in. And when he sees him walk in, now you're going to be chayiv. In other words, sha'oshin nichnas by leyune. And he's patum migalut because again, it's not enough. You know the person walked in. You're chayiv any damage, and if you end up killing him by so-called by mistake by this wood, it's karov lemezid. However, madam marav chia, where chia says you're patur, that's b'shelo ra'u when he didn't see him walking in. Okay, that makes a lot of sense then. However, The Gemara says, "Im b'shlo ra'au kiven she'amar lo hekanes chayev." So just to explain this, if you're "im b'shlo ra'au," we're referring to a shita Rabbi Chia, okay? And then it says, "Im ken heichas she'amar." If he says to him, "Come inside," like enter, knocks on the door, come inside. Shantan or chod hekanes, he should be chayev even if he doesn't see him. The maishna ra'au de bayli unei hachinami im ichnes b'roshot afilu hachi. But nonetheless, in other words, if he says, "Come inside," then also you should be aware of the person, the hazard that someone's walking in the house, and you should also be concerned where you're going to hurt him. Bailey une. Nonetheless, afilu hachi tani Rabbi Chia, in the situation, this is why again Marfulda says bikanes bereshit, he says enter, he's still patur. So how do we understand Shita Rabbi Chia? Because if you say the whole debate is where that when you're patur, that's when he didn't know. But if he does know, he says either he saw him, or now we're saying he says he entered, then he'd be chayv, because again, we're trying to say there's no debate between Rabbi Chia and Rabbi Yossi ben Chanina. Then he should be, if you like, chayv if he says enter, but Rabbi Chia says nonetheless, he says enter, he's patur. So Gemara says, no, kevan she'amar lo hachnes, tzurich lishmor la'atzmo. Now, what this means is, he's saying, if by saying, okay, you can come in, you're saying come in, but you have to look after yourself. Now, that's a bit. What does that even mean? So we need this needs a little bit of work. So if you have a look at Marfulda, he says, "Hayatzuricha mazik lishmor et atzmo." You know, kimet shemalu achnes, but the Tani Reb Chia patur. And when talking about Reb Chia, says patur lo asik hacha. So what this means is that this is effectively saying kimet shemalu is not an answer to explain why you're chayev, why you're patur. It's like saying actually no, since he says enter, you would be chayev. So we haven't explained Reb Chia Shita at all here. This is, if you like, arguing. Well, entering your own risk is what the Havik, Menachem just pointed out in the chat, and he said, well, isn't entering your own risk? Entering your own risk is what the Havamina was, but we're still saying, what we're saying is, Haitzuricha mazik lishmor et atzmo. The mazik has to be careful. This is what we're saying. It's not entering your own risk is not a justification. So again, I just want to make clear the flow of the Gemara, the way the Marfulda explains it. What we're trying to say is that if the distinction we tried to set between Reb Yossi and Reb Chanina is whether he was aware he entered or not. So therefore, what we're trying to say now is if he said, oh, enter your own, you can come inside, then he's aware and he should have been careful. And this is supported, by the way, the continuation that says, Kim and Shemayach Netzer Lishmor. So how do we understand the part before when it says, Reb Chia, says, even if he says enter, you'd be patur. So we're still at a question at this stage. Because this next line, Gimel Shemar Achnes Tzarich Lishmor, importantly, Mara Fulda, is effectively asserting the point when he says, Hu Tzarich Lishmor, not enter your own risk, like Menachem said, but Lishmor, meaning the Mazik should have been careful. If he says, enter, you're in my space now, I'm aware of your presence, I've got to be careful. So, I'll just continue to Mara Fulda. Uba Bavli Mashli Beshule De Nafcha. What's Shule De Nafcha? In other words, when would Reb Chia still say patur? Because the Yerushalmi doesn't answer this. It says, so that's an Eved Shel Nafach. Okay? This is referring to the Eved, the servant of this smith, if you like. And he's telling his Eved to get out, and he doesn't. And he assumed that the Stam Eved will listen to the instructions of the master. And in that situation, the Rav thought, meaning the master, thought that his servant had left. That's what we're talking about. La fuke acher, that in other words, it's a specific case where his instruction for if he's like his ever that usually follows his instructions. That would exclude somebody else. The lately ema imte, like he doesn't have the ema, if you like. In other words, the way the Bavli explains this case, Rabbi Chiyev says, even if he says enter or leave, if you like, he'd still be patur in that situation. Sorry, he would be patur in that situation. Is a very specific, unique case where talking about the Eved of the master, and the master said, please leave, and he assumed he left because generally Eved follows the master. But you can't make the assumption about anybody else. Anybody else, if you say, please leave, you've got to make sure he's actually left the area. Okay, fine. Now, the Gemara says, some to say, okay, that what? This is, you know, the Reb Chia, he says, in terms of therefore, once he says enter, it's like a chatzar shutafim, they both got reshut in that space, and therefore you're chayev for any damage one does to the one we do to one another. Damar Reb Yochanan b'shem Reb Yana, ha'shutafim konim ze mi ze b'chatzar, Meaning, despite the fact, in other words, importantly, if I do a kinyan, I have to take it out of your chatzer and take it to my chatzer, right? So you might think if we share the chatzer, I'm never taking it out of my chatzer, your chatzer to my chatzer. But now they can still be cornered from one to the other. Okay, afal pi marfol zedesh lachavero gamkin bechatzer v'lo atzem reshut hamocher. No, we still say filahachi, since it's got a chelik, it's like doing a transaction from one reshut to the other. Fine. V'chayivim zeh b'nizkei zeh v'zeh b'nizkei zeh. And if they cause each other damage, they're responsible. So you see, it's like when it says hachnes, as soon as you enter. Now, this is another svaris. In other words, by saying, telling someone come and enter, it is either it's now you have to be careful of what you're doing, or the chiyuv simply makes it a bit like a chatzah shutafim, they're responsible for any damage that is caused. It's like trying to understand. I think what Gemara is trying to do is trying to understand the svara behind why you're chayev, even if it's your reshut. Now, however, the Gemara adds, but one second, if you're talking about chatzah shutafim, now it says lo ken amara b'maleh kol reshut harabim. In other words, if you remember, we talked about the person if he's walking reshut harabim and he knocks and breaks something. We said a patur in the Mishnah. This is going to the same thing again. But the question is, why does someone have to look where they're going? Right. Sorry, start again. Why is he patur? He should look where he's going in Shusha Rabim. Okay, he should have just walked around it. And we said it was a little situation back there in that Mishnah, b'mamaleh, the whole thing was full of jugs. That's why he said it's patur. So say, in this situation, did one of the people in the, if you like, the chatzah fill it all up? The Gemara says, Amrle kevich darko lelech b'chatzor kemishu mamaleh kol chatzero. Which means that since it's the if you're dealing with business partners, someone could fill the some business partners, chatzar partners, call it that. That since people can use the whole chatzar for whatever they want, then it's like the case where the whole chatzar is like filled up, and therefore, if you like, I'll just show you the Gemara Fulda. And he's damaged by it, then he's chayev bala kadal shalem. So this is the part that confused me when I learned it. We're not talking about the damage caused to the jug. We're talking about the damage that was caused to the person who tripped on it. Okay? So that's why we're saying that you're chayev for any damage you cause for the other to the other party that shares a chatzah with you. Okay? So if we just go through it again, the point was, is why should I be chayev for damage I caused to another party? Let's just go through the flow again, meaning the other person who tripped on my jug. Why don't you say, just look where you're going? Because according to Rav, the only time we say you have to look where you're going, if like, if it's a mamalek, call a chatzah. In other words, that should be the situation where he doesn't have to look where he's going, and if he smashed the kli back in that Mishnah, he's patur. So Gemara says, no, it's different with the chatzah shutafim that you're, it's like because that's the whole chatzah can be used up wherever you like. In other words, everyone's got a reshut to use the whole thing. Then it's as if like it has a din of mamale, and you're chayiv for any hazard you cause to your co-person you're sharing the chatzah with. Okay, so again, it's just a little tricky thing to reframe because while the discussion we're brewing it. Discussing the jug that was breaking, here we're talking about the injury that's done to the other party. The chiyuv to the injury you called by like putting this hazard in the chatzah. Okay? That's why again, because the Mishnah is talking about the chayim ben nisko shel zeh bez nisko bez. I just wanted to make that clear. I hope it was clear. But that's what I wanted to stress at the end of that, just towards this last part here. Okay, let's go. Isn't that halacha tet? Shnei shvarim, two oxen. Tamim, that were both tam, they never got into a fight before, or maybe once or twice. Shechavlu zeh bazeh, and they end up damaging each other. Meshalmim oto chatzi nezek. Once again, let's say one caused 50, one caused 40 damage. Okay, we look at the difference between the damage that was caused and the then you pay the if you like the chatzi nezek because it's both a case of a tam. Okay, shnei muadim worth the both wild animals habitual damages and then again we look at what the difference is. In the damage that was caused, and that difference, the person who caused more damage has to pay the full amount of the difference between the damage. So far, so clear. Now, echad tam v'echad muad. What if one's a tam and one's a muad? Muad or muad b'tam. Now, muad b'tam meshlim b'mota nezek shalem. So, if the muad does more damage than the tam, we look at the difference, and he pays full damage of the difference. Tam b'muad, if a tam does damage to a muad and he causes more damage, so the simple way of explaining this is like Rashi. that really we look at the difference of damage first, and of that difference, now the Talmud pay half. Because there's another way to look at this. You could look at the other way, which is the way the Tosfot and the Rambam work. Look at it first. Tam only has to pay Chatzin Nezek. So you first divide the damage is caused by half, and then look at the difference and see who pays more. Okay? The way I explain in the Mishnah is actually, I think, like Rashi, that looks the other way around. You first look at the difference in damage, and that's after that. Now we've got an assessment of the damage that the Tam is responsible for. Now you slice it by half. Okay, you can see how when you divide it by half, who it can make a massive difference in terms of who's responsible for paying more. Okay, fine. That's the Machloket Rishonim regarding this. Now, the Chen Shnei Anashim, also two human beings, the Shechavlu Zeh BaZeh, going into a fight. Meshalmim, again, we look at the difference in the damage caused, and the person who caused more damage has to pay the difference. Adama Mu'ad, Bo'am Adam, or an animal and a human being got into a fight, and they end up damaging one of the Meshalmim, Matan Nezek Shalem. Again, once again, the difference is paid by the one that caused more damage. Adam b'tam b'tam b'adam. What if it's a tam and an adam, or adam and a tam? Once again, adam b'tam b'shalem b'motam nezek shalem. The difference for adam causes damage. Amud la'olam has to pay full damage. So the difference he pays in full. B'tam b'adam. If it was a tam caused damage to a person, it caused more damage. B'shalem b'motar. The difference in damage caused, he and pays chatzi nezek, half of that. However, Rabbi Akiva says no. Af tam. The whole concept of tam paying chatzi nezek is only if it caused damage to another animal or kelim. However, to human being, tam shechavah ba'adam mishalem b'motah nezek shalem. Okay, let's continue. Shor shaveh maneh shenagach l'shor shaveh matayim. So an ox that is only worth 100 caused damage to an ox worth 200 and killed it, and there's no value in the corpse whatsoever. Okay, then what's happened now? The tam is chayiv chatzi nezek. So half of 200 is 100. Its own value is 100. And we say that normally the payment times kan mishtalem migufo comes from only the value of the live ox that caused the damage. So in that situation, simply take that shor and that's your payment. Because the live shor that caused the damage is equal to exactly half the damage that was caused. Yafeh. What if a shor shaveh matayim, an ox worth 200? Shenagach shor shaveh matayim. It caused damage to another ox that's worth 200, and killed it completely, obliterated. There's no the corpse, sorry, the carcass is worth nothing. In that situation, that's exactly what the pasuk is referring to. That you sell the living ox and they divide it in two, because that's exactly the case. Because a living ox is worth 200, which is twice the amount of the chatzi nezek that has to be paid. So half of it, so half the damage, half the damage caused is taken from half the value of the living animal. Beautiful. Amalo Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda says, what are you talking? Chena halacha, you're right, absolutely, you're true. That is indeed the law. However, kiyamta umachru et asherachai v'chitzu et kaspo. That part of the pasuk, if you're saying that the Torah is referring to this specific case, that's only the first part of the pasuk. However, the second pasuk is v'gavta met yichatzun, dividing half the value of the met. You're not. That isn't. Being, that's not fulfilled by this particular case, because you've just told us the ox that was killed has no value. So there's no division in value of the dead one. So Ezel, what would be that case where you can effectively say to divide both the living and the dead oxen? That is shor shaveh matayim shenagach shor shaveh matayim. An ox is worth 200. What an ox is worth 200. V'anavela, and he killed it, and it was only, and the carcass there was only worth 50. Okay, 150 is the damage. How much does he need to be compensated? Well, 75. Okay, because 150 is the damage. Altogether, carcass worth 50 plus 75 is 125. So he needs 125 in his bank account. Okay, we'll get to that in a minute. Zenotel chetzi chai v'chetzi amet v'zenotel chetzi amet. If each of them take half the value of the chai and half the value of the amet, the chai is worth 200. The met's worth 50. Together, that's 250. Each and receive what? 125. Ah, yeah, fair. That's how you get the situation where they effectively take half the value of the live living one, half the value of the dead one, and that's how they get the compensation, which is, again, well, chatzi nezek, because effectively he loses 75, the person who, because he only gets 125 in actual value left. Okay, the Gemara says, shor shaveh maneh shenagach shor shaveh maneh. Okay, now, here, we have to be careful with the girsa here, because the marifold changed a little bit. So, shor shaveh maneh, ox worth 100. Gauze and ox is worth 100. And hikrish means here. So just I'll read the Marafulda. He says, "V'lo garsin hikrisho." That's a sefer. Hikrish implies actually was shor shaveh manesh nagach shaveh meneh. The ain of the klum. So one ox worth 100 kills, in other words, with zero left. He killed it completely, obliterated. The hamazik, the ox itself that caused the damage, ended up losing its value. Hikrish, it weakened. And it went by down by 50 zuz. Ve'inu shaveh lechamishim. So how much is the damage meant to, money meant to recover? Well, half of the value of his shor, which is 50. The shor that caused the damage is now worth also only 50 because it reduced in its value. Okay, so notel at hashor, simply take the ox that caused the damage. She'en lo ela chatzi chavlo, lefichach im met hashor or ikhish, en lo ela oto shor bilvad. So therefore, since you can only, again, mishtalem min hagufo in the case of tam, you can only collect the funds from the ox that does the damage. So in this case, when reducing the value by 50, well, that's how much he has to collect. He can take the shor. And if it died after the fact, and there's nowhere to get his money from. That's case number one. Next. Shor shaveh manesh nagach shor shaveh matayim. An ox is worth 100. Gauze and ox is worth 200. It took on a bigger shor. Let's call it that. V'chisho. And as a result of the damage, he brought it down to the Marfulda, explains here. He took it down to worth, took it down by Shlosha Shazahab, which is 75. Took it down by that. Chazar Acharon v'chaval, and the other one comes back and caused damage, chaval chamishim zuz, and took it down by 50. Okay? So one caused more damage than the other. The Rishon, who caused more damage, how much money did he cause? He caused 75. The difference between 75 and 50 is 25. Chetzi of that is half of 25, which is, well, 1250, but use the lashon on the gemish. Now, harishon, the person who caused damage, meshalem l'sheni chetzi dinazav, because dinazav is 25. So chetzi dinazav, half 25, that's half 25. Fine. That's really a standard case of one ox goring another, both tam, one caused, and they're both gored each other. We look at the difference and then split the difference in half, but and obligate the person who caused more damage, ox or caused more damage, to pay half of that difference. That's straightforward. Next case. Shor shaveh matayim shenagach shor shaveh matayim. An ox is worth 200. Gored another ox is worth 200. Yafeh. Hishbiach varu yafeh arba. And the ox that was damaged, as a result, after that, ended up increasing. Now, according to the Bnei Moshe, if you like, it says he reduced its value by 50 as a result of the attack. But then after the fact, it increased by up to 400, the victim ox. Okay. She'ilo no nagacho, but the assumption is that had he not had this accident, this would have been a prize bull, if you like, and it would have been worth 800 zuz. So can he make the claim that says, oh, but 1 second, you may have only caused me, you know, whatever what it was, say, like 50 damage, but had you not, you're going to the future, had you not done this damage, you've really effectively caused me 400 zuz damage. The Gemara says in that situation, let's quote Marfulda, this situation we say, no, only go Bashar Hezek, he's only chayv to pay 50, well, half the damage, which is in this situation 100, sorry, not 50, 100. Okay. Now, the Gemara says, im ad shloma bedin hishpiach, ein zo ele keshat nizko. So again, I'm going to explain to Marfulda, who explains here that when the hishpiach is talking about the Mazik. So I want to read it all in Marafulda, because again, what's increasing and changing value keeps switching, and we can't lose track. As lo kai leshpiach nizak, we're talking about where the value of the oxic was damaged went up in value. We've dealt with that case. Ela kemosha masik rabla de al hishpiach mazikai. We're talking about the oxic cause of damage. Umagia brighter kilo michisum achasra. Okay, and it's like chisum achasra. Okay, so what happens if we say increasing value, ein lo ela keshat nizko, then if the mazik caused damage, right? Again, well, mazik by definition did cause damage, but if that went up in value, we can only look at the value of the mazik at the time it caused a nezik, and you can only, again, when you're trying to redeem your money from the ox that caused damage, then it's you look at the shat nizko, and that's the amount of money you can get out of it. Okay. Hikrish. Now, hikrish here now is hanizak. Let's say the ox was damaged, the nizak reduced in value, machamata maka, ein lo keshat amadat milvad. So again, I'll read the Marfulda. In other words, it caused particular damage to this ox. It reduced in value. By the time it gets to court, it's reduced in value further. So you might think that now, 1 second, he should be obligated to pay much, a lot more, because you can see, look, it's deteriorated. We say, we look at the time when it is hamatadin, when you try him. So we say, yes, it looks to be a direct result of the injury, so we go by hamatadin. So just to summarize what we've done at this point before we change things a little bit, which is what Rav Lazar is going to do, it sounds like that when it says, that there's really three things we've learned here. The first one is if the ox that was damaged goes up in value after the injury, we don't say, oh, it could have gone up by more. No, we don't say that. Next thing, we say the case of the mazik that caused damage, if that went up in value, we don't say, oh, no, we don't say, oh, I should be able to, you know, retain a lot more money from this animal. No, we don't say that. We look at the shad ezek. However, and the third case, if it goes down in value, the nizak, we say that, okay, this is all the result of the original injury, and we look at the assessment of tam hamadat adin. Those three different things. Amar Avla, he says, no, lo keine matnita. It's different. This whole thing, this last little piece, is talking about the mazik going up and down in value. This is when it's going to get confusing. Hishpiach amazik im ad shelo amad bedin. Hishpiach eno ele kashat nisko. Meaning, again, if it goes up in value, we look at your chelek. Let's have, I'll explain like chelek in a minute. That you have in this shore at the time or did the damage. You're going to get a certain amount of, like, let's say, whatever the value was at the time of Adin. That's what you get. Hikrishiv goes down in value. We look at what it was value, its value was at the time when it was taken to trial. Now, I'm going to read the Marfulda for a little bit, but then I want to explain it slightly different. So let's have a look. Hishpiach mazik v'amad al arba mot. It goes up to 400. Eino lenizek elashat nezek. All you've got a chelik at the time of the damage. V'loya cholomar. He cannot say, oh, since at the time you caused damage, I have a share in your ox. Therefore, the fact it's gone up in value means my share in your ox has gone up in value. That's what it means. So you don't say, ana b'shara mazik v'zachiti bo mishat nezek chelik shminit shiva. So you might, in other words, you might try and, again, don't worry about the maths at the moment, but you might try and say that the Havimina might be, at the time where the mazik caused the damage, immediately has a chelik in the shore. So if the shore goes up in value, well then also my share in the ox, which I should have claimed, like I immediately owned a certain percentage of that ox, should also go up in value. We don't say that. We say, what was the time of nezek? You meant to get compensated by, I don't know, 50? Then all you can take is 50. Even if the damages, the one that committed the crimes, value went up. That's what it's saying. However, kichesh, if it goes down in value, hamazik, b'shat hamadat adin, and in other words, now it's gone down in value, ein lenizak min hamazik ele k'shat hamadat adin, kolomar, shemenakelo hamazik, mechelko, shemegilo nizak min kichishat ashor. And that's like Rabbi Akiva that says, you are a shutaf in this. So we've got a stira here. In other words, always saying now, if it goes down in value, we say that actually, no, you had a share in this ox. Let's say you had a 25% share in it because you're meant to chetzin nezek from this shore. Now it goes down in value, well, whatever the value is, hamadadin, you only get 25% of it. Now this, the problem with this now, it seems to be a stira in the ratio in the sefer. We said when it goes up in value, it's not like shita Rabbi Akiva, it's like shita to, I think Rabbi Shmuel, I think it is, that all you have is a debt to be paid. You don't have a chelik in the shore. But now it's saying if it goes down in value, you do have a chelik in the shore. So make up your mind. So the way the Marfulda has a malach in this to explain it, that it's a bit of both shittot, but Chazon Yecheskel says, no, this is all like Shita Rabbi Akiva. Why is it like Shita Rabbi Akiva? Meaning Shita Rabbi Akiva says you have a chelik. In other words, from the time the mazik did any damage, the nizak has a chelik, has a share in this ox that caused damage, even before Hamadat Adin. So that explains why, when it goes down in value, also your share when it goes down in value, you won't get compensated with the chatzai nezek at the end of the day. Why, when it goes up, do we not say the same thing? That is because the mazik invested in this, meaning he fattened it up, he put effort into it, and he was the only party that was doing the effort to increase the value. And the assumption, by the way, is that his yitziyot, that which he invested, was more than the increase. Importantly, that's for dinei mamonot, which we'll get to later. But, and therefore, that he has, if you like, full ownership, if you like, of the increasing value, even though they're both considered business partners in it. Okay, that's how we explain the ratio, why it's that's not the case. Okay, let's continue. Now the Gemara says, oh wow, this all the time. My time at the Rebbe Meir. Now, if you recall, Rebbe Meir says, this is back in the Mishnah, that he said the it's because Amakra, meaning the case where an ox of 200 got an ox of 200 and killed it completely, and we says that they're both chatzuot, they're both share in the, if you like, the live ox. That was what the Torah is referring to. It says Umachrot, that was the case. Umama came Remeir. If that's the case, if you remember Rabbi Yehuda in the Mishnah, change it to Remeir here. Rabbi Yehuda says you haven't explained the full pasuk. So what does Remeir do the full pasuk? Gametam met yechatzon. How do you understand that? The Gemara says mechan shezem mafsid chetzi nezek vezem mafsid chetzi nezek. What this means is, now the way again, the importantly, the Marufuda explains the comma im chetzo shel chay shavei yoter mechatzi nezek. Let's say half of the living animal is worth much, much more than half the damage that was caused. Then we say, we only look at the chatzin nezek, meaning half the damage that was caused. Or your term chatzin nezek. More than chatzin nezek than nezek misses out. In other words, had the pasuk just said on its own that machrot asher chay bechatzuot kaspo, you would think that the person nizak always gets half of the living shor that caused the damage. You need the second part of the gamer met yechatzon to say no. He can only get up to 50% of the damage that was caused, even if you like, 50% of the living animal is worth much, much more than the half the damage that was caused. Right? Nonetheless, it can only come to means we cap the compensation you can get to half the damage that was actually caused to his animal. Okay. Should we stop here? You know what? We might stop a few lines early because I just realized we've gone quite a bit over time. And we can talk for the mission next year. Okay, I just said we'll do that then. Okay. Kol
Thank
tov.
you.
Have a good day.
A good winter, everybody.
Is intervent